All right, I need to talk about Eliza today. These are mostly text-based slides. And so I don't understand why anyone would copy this down, because you already have this online. So it's better to just listen to me. But Eliza is what we're going to be doing today in a bit. But it's an acronym, as you see here, that stands for Enzyme-Linked Immunosorbent Assay. So let's just break these words down. What is an assay? Right, it's a test of some sort. Allows you to assess something or test something. In this case, the assay that Eliza is a test for whether or not something that you're looking for is present in a sample that you're testing. So it basically gives you a yes or no answer to the question of whether that thing is there. Now, it's an immunosorbent assay because what the test uses to find the thing that you're looking for is antibodies, which are part of the immune system, right? We already talked about antibodies, and so you know already that they are highly specific proteins. They can they can recognize a very specific thing called an antigen based on its shape. So there are different versions of the ELISA test. Each one looks for its own specific antigen. And therefore, each specific test features its own specific antibody that looks for that specific antigen you're looking for. Now, the reason that it's enzyme-linked is that there needs to be a way for you as the scientist to be able to tell whether the test is positive or negative. You need to be able to tell whether the thing is there or not. Well, whether it's there or not is going to affect whether the antibody that you include in the test that looks for the antigen you're looking for, whether that antibody finds the antigen. But that's happening at a molecular scale. You're not able to tell by looking at a little vial whether enzyme molecules connected to antigen molecules, unless you cause something to happen in the solution, in the tube, that you can easily see. And by linking an antibody that's part of the test to an enzyme, that allows the enzyme to do something that you can see. So the way that ELISA is designed is that a yes positive indication is going to be apparent to you as the tester by causing some substrate to get turned into product, and the product looks much different from the substrate. So in other words, it changes color. The enzyme, in other words, changes substrate to product, and the product is so radically different in color that you can tell just by looking at the tube whether or not the answer is yes or no. All right, so it detects the presence of minute quantities of either an antibody or an antigen. You can use it to detect just about anything, as long as you have an antibody that recognizes that thing you're looking for. Now, antibodies themselves can really be antigens. In other words, antibodies are proteins, right? Proteins, all different proteins have different shapes. So there can be one antibody that is able to recognize another kind of antibody. So you can say that it's always looking for an antigen, but sometimes the antigen itself is just a different antibody. Okay, now minute here is important. It's one of the very nice things about the ELISA test is that it's very sensitive. It only needs a tiny, tiny amount of what you're looking for to be there. for you to get a positive result. And that's simply because of the fact that these antigens are so specific. I mean, these antibodies are so specific that they will bind to just a small number of molecules. All right. Important diagnostic tool in many areas of science and industry. This is another important thing, nice thing about this test. Is not only that it's sensitive, but it's cheap. It's not expensive to make the kit, and therefore it's used in all kinds of areas. It's not a high-level scientific tool. As a matter of fact, this is what pregnancy tests are. They're ELISAs, and you can get those for 99 cents or for free, right? Pretty simple in terms of the chemistry involved. All right, let's talk about how it works now. Slide 2. Basically, what you have is a solution that you don't know whether it contains what you're looking for. That's the unknown solution, right? But we call it the unknown only for the fact that the specific thing is either there or not there. It's not unknown in the sense that ELISA does not tell you what is there. So you don't use it to identify different things, right? You have to know beforehand exactly what you're looking for. And therefore you have to use the right antibodies in the ELISA kit to look for exactly that thing. So it doesn't tell you the identity of things. It just tells you whether or not the thing you already know what you're looking for is there. Okay, and that thing is the antigen of interest. So what we do is put samples of this unknown solution, and you do it multiple times just so that in case something goes wrong, you have several replicates. And also because it's so cheap, you can do it many times. These samples are put into tiny little plastic tubes, little wells. The plastic is usually polystyrene, but it's some sort of plastic because plastic has the property of allowing a lot of different things to stick to it. And so that's what happens when you put this solution in. The solution is going to be a mixture of all kinds of stuff. And maybe some of those particles are what you're looking for. Maybe none of them are. But in any case, whatever the particles are, they stick to the sides of the well. They stick to this polystyrene. And so all kinds of different things will be sticking to the sides of just that one well, plus all the other wells that you do the same way. All right? The job of the antibodies is to find in that crowd of different kinds of particles that are stuck to the well, find the ones that you're looking for, if they're there. So in slide 3, the rest is explained. There's two different kinds of antibodies used in one ELISA test. And so they are called the primary antibody and the secondary antibody. Technically, you could do it with just one, but I'll explain why two are used usually. The primary antibody is the antibody that is able to specifically recognize the antigen that you care about. And therefore, that's really the choice that you make when you choose among the different kinds of ELISAs. You choose the ELISA that has the correct antibody to look for exactly the thing you're looking for. That makes sense. All right. Now, up to this point, you've already added your sample to your wells. And so all those different kinds of particles in there have stuck to the wall already. Then you add a solution that contains your primary antibody. Millions and millions of those exact copies of that same primary antibody. If you have any molecules of your antigen of interest, then they're going to be stuck to the wall already. And when you add that solution of primary antibody, the primary antibodies will stick to the antigens. Because that's how antibodies operate. They bind to their specific antigen if they find them. So if that's true, now you have a bunch of particles that you don't care about stuck to the walls, plus some that you do care about stuck to the walls, with antibodies stuck to them. Okay? Then you rinse this thing out to get rid of anything that's not stuck to the walls. All right? Now, like I said, if the antigen of interest is there, then you'll have these primary antibodies stuck to them. So when you wash it out, they'll still be there. But if your solution, your unknown solution, does not have any of the antigen you're looking for, then when you put the primary antibody in, it won't find any. And therefore, when you wash it, that primary antibody will come out because it's not stuck to anything, right? So those are your two possibilities. Either you have primary antibody stuck to antigen, or you have no primary antibody anymore because it gets washed away since it didn't find any antigen. After that wash, then you add a second solution with the secondary antibody in it. The secondary antibody is an antibody that recognizes the primary antibody. All right? So, once again, there's two possibilities. If the antigen of interest was there, then you have the primary antibody stuck to it, and therefore the primary antibodies will still be in the well, even after that first wash. And therefore, when you put the secondary antibody in, it will stick to the primary antibody, which is stuck to the antigen. And it will still be there even after you wash it. Okay? But the other possibility is if the antigen wasn't there, then there's no primary antibody anymore because it got washed away. Therefore, the secondary antibody doesn't find anything to stick to, and therefore it gets washed away. Now, you're probably wondering, why have this second antibody to recognize the first? And the reason is it's because it makes it cheaper to do this way. All right, remember what I told you about antibodies? You know, they're basically a Y shape, right? And what's the difference between this vertical part of the Y and the diagonal part of the Y? The
vertical part is constant. It's on every antibody. The Y is variable.
That's right. So every antibody type is different. They all look for their own antigen, but they're only different because of these diagonal parts. This is the variable region. This is the constant region. All right? The secondary antibody is the one that has the enzyme connected to it. So the secondary antibody is the one that will tell you whether or not the test is positive or negative, because it's the thing that causes the color change. But by doing that on a secondary antibody, you can make one kind of secondary antibody for all the ELISA tests, right? You have to make a different kind of primary antibody for each different kind of ELISA because it has to be specific for the antigen you're looking for. But every kind of primary antibody has the same vertical part of the Y. So you can keep using the same kind of secondary antibody to recognize the primary antibody because what it recognizes is that constant region. That makes sense? In other words, if this is your antigen, the right kind of antibody will recognize that. That'll stick to it. Primary antibody. Then the secondary antibody will stick to that primary antibody. And if you change the kind of primary antibody, it will mean that you're changing this variable region and it'll recognize a different kind of antigen, but it'll still have this same part. And therefore, the secondary antibody will still recognize that different kind of primary antibody. The reason that's important for making it cheap is because the secondary antibody has an enzyme connected to it. And that's more expensive to design. So you don't want to have to design all kinds of different primary antibodies, each with an enzyme connected to it. That would make it a lot more expensive. So you only use one enzyme-linked secondary antibody to recognize all the different kinds of primary antibodies. Okay, now the slide 4 shows you how it turns out then. If we assume that the antigen was there, then you have primary antibodies stuck to those, and you have secondary antibodies stuck to the primary antibodies. And so the secondary antibodies are still in the wells. And then the final thing you add is a solution that contains the specific substrate for the enzyme that's on the secondary antibody. What kind of things are enzymes? What kind of molecules are they? They're proteins, and so they have a specific shape, just like an antibody, but they operate for a different reason. What are enzymes, functionally speaking? Right, they're catalysts. So the job of an enzyme is to take some sort of substrate, which is the specific thing that can bind to it, and speed up the reaction that changes that substrate into some sort of product. So since you know exactly what kind of enzyme is linked to this secondary antibody in the test, the final step is to just put a solution of that substrate that the enzyme recognizes into the well. And since it's an enzyme that recognizes it, it immediately speeds up the reaction that causes that substrate to turn into something else, the product. And if you do it with the right stuff, then you're turning that substrate, which is colorless, into a product that has a color. In this case, a bluish color that we're going to see when we do ours. All right? Well, it's not going to do that. The substrate does not turn into product on its own very easily. That's why it needs the help of the enzyme. So if on that final step you put the solution in and you don't see any color change, that's because there's no enzyme in there. But the only reason there would be no enzyme to turn it blue, turn the substrate blue, is because there would be no secondary antibody in the wells, because they have been washed away. But the reason the secondary antibody would have been washed away is because it didn't find any primary antibody to stick to. The only reason you wouldn't have primary antibody there to stick to is if the primary antibody didn't find any antigen to stick to. So it all boils down to, if the solution remains clear after you add substrate solution, then that means you didn't have antigen in your sample to begin with. And if you did, everything's going to still be in the wells, including the enzyme that's linked to the secondary antibody. It's going to turn your substrate blue in this case. So it's a yes or no question by looking at it and seeing whether or not it turns color. In other words, it's a qualitative test, not quantitative. A quantitative test would tell you how much of that stuff is there, like spectrophotometry, right? Tells you what the concentration is of that stuff. This doesn't do that. This tells you whether or not it's there. Now, even though it's qualitative, you can tell to a certain degree how much is there. In other words, if it really turns blue immediately, then that must mean there was a lot of antigen there, sticking to a lot of antibody, therefore a lot of enzyme is present, and it will very quickly turn it blue. But you can't rely on that for quantity. You can't get any numbers out of that. It just kind of tells you a little bit about how much is there. The main point is whether or not it's there, which is really exactly what the question is for a pregnancy test, right? You don't want to know how pregnant you are. You just want to know whether or not you're pregnant. And by the way, the reason this works perfectly as a pregnancy test is because the antigen of interest, does anyone know what the antigen of interest is for a pregnancy test? No? Yes, it is a certain hormone. H something something is what it's called. HCG. Human chorionic gonadotropin. A gonadotropin is something that works on, which is what tropic means, the gonads. Chorionic refers to the chorion, which is a part of the placenta. And so the placenta does not exist in a woman unless she's pregnant. Therefore, if you don't have a placenta, you don't make chorionic gonadotropin. In other words, the only way you make this chemical is if you're pregnant. So if you look for this chemical that can't exist in a non-pregnant human, it's a very reliable test. And the fact that Eliza is so sensitive, meaning you need a very, very tiny amount, also makes it a very reliable test. Because if you are pregnant, just a tiny bit pregnant is still going to give you a nice positive result. What were you going to ask? That's exactly what it is. It's just, and that's why I'm saying that those kits are cheap. Eliza in general are cheap kits, which is a nice thing. It's not a long process. It tells you in minutes what the answer is, whether it's for pregnancy or whatever you're testing for. And it's very sensitive. You don't need very much. So on a crime scene, for instance, you could use it at a crime scene as well, just to answer the question of whether or not a certain chemical is there. All right. Slide 5 is just a picture of what you're going to be doing. The plastic wells that you use come in little strips, so all the wells are connected to each other. We don't have the stuff out yet. I'm going to have to call Alan, have him give them over here. But once these things are here, these plastic strips, don't touch them with your bare hands at all, because your bare hands have a bunch of antigens on them. Right? So wear gloves when you touch these things. But basically, you can see that you're doing things in triplicate. So you're putting the same thing in 3 different wells, just in case something goes wrong with one of them. But you're using the A's and B's here and the C's and the D's. Those represent unknown solutions, ones that you don't know whether they're there or not. The pluses and the minuses represent solutions that are control solutions, ones that you know includes the antigen of interest for the plus, ones that you know don't, right? You do that as a control for contamination, for instance, or, you know, if you get blue in the negatives, something went wrong, right? Because you definitely shouldn't get a positive result for the negatives. And if you don't have any color change on the pluses, maybe something's wrong with your enzyme, and therefore you can't trust your unknown solutions. If they don't turn color, it could just be because you have a bad enzyme, right? So you have both positive and negative controls. But that's what we're going to be doing, and very simple to do, very reliable, very little can go wrong with it. That'll be over just in about 20 minutes probably. So go ahead and take a small break. I'm going to call Alan.